Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Industrial Average up 110 to close at 25,669. S&P 500 up 9 at 2,850. NASDAQ Comp up 9 at 7,816. Russell 2000 up 7 at 1692. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note unchanged at 2.87%. Oil up 46 cents at $65.92 per barrel. Gold up $10.90 at $11.85.60 per ounce. For the week, the Dow Industrials gained about 1.3%. S&P 500 up 0.6% this week. NASDAQ showed a small loss. Investors pulled money from both stock and bond funds in the past week and shifted money within U.S. equities to healthcare and out of tech and financials. According to Bank of America Merrill Lynch, investors pulled $3.6 billion out of equity mutual funds and ETFs, with $2.6 billion out of U.S. stocks. But as investors took a defensive posture on stocks, they also dumped government debt. Net outflows $1.5 billion from treasuries and government bonds. That's the biggest since December 2016. Overall, bonds lost a total of $2.3 billion. And B of A notes that the top five performing sectors for the past 3 months have been defensive: staples, utilities, REITs, healthcare, and telecom. Emerging market stocks have shed 10.7% over the past 3 months. They're on track for a 3.8% decline for the week. That would represent the index's third straight weekly drop, as well as its steepest weekly decline since March. The declines have taken the index to its lowest level in about a year. Price of copper down 19% just since early June. It's now at its lowest in about a year. That's a steeper drop than for other commodities, such as crude oil, which has also been falling in recent weeks. Concern about China, the single largest consumer of the metal, primary source of this weakness. Copper is a good predictor for the direction of industrialized economies, and China's economic outlook has darkened since the trade war with the U.S. began, right around when copper prices were at their peak. The trade war is hitting China as it also faces a difficult transition away from the growth model that fueled the country's rise. In the second quarter, non-performing loans at Chinese banks notched their biggest rise in over a decade. China's currency, the renminbi, has fallen more than 9% against the dollar in the last 6 months, and China's CSI 300 index of blue chip stocks off about 19% this year. If the slump in copper prices is a harbinger of a significant slowdown in global economic growth, American investors could eventually feel the pain. Last year, 44% of the revenues of companies in the S&P 500 came from foreign countries, with Asia being the single largest regional source of sales. Stocks extended yesterday's gains on reports of progress in talks between the U.S. and China and other trading partners. The talks haven't happened yet. Nothing definitive has been negotiated. The talk so far is about holding talks in the future. And just the thought that there will be talks was a boost for Wall Street. Meanwhile, Mexico's economy minister, Ildefonso Guajardo, said he hopes to wrap up outstanding bilateral issues on NAFTA by the middle of next week. During second quarter earnings calls, tariffs, higher margins, and wage growth were the three themes that stood out. Trade wars can have unintended consequences. Tariffs have already disrupted some supply chains, and companies are finding it extremely difficult to pass the cost to consumers. American shoppers just won't buy it. According to the University of Michigan's first look at consumer sentiment in August, consumers' assessment of current economic conditions declined due to much less favorable assessments of buying conditions, mainly due to less favorable perceptions of market prices. In other words, things got more expensive and consumers pulled back. University of Michigan's headline consumer sentiment index slipped to 95.3 in the beginning of August. That's down from 97.9 at the end of July, its lowest reading in 11 months. Buying conditions for large household durables sank to the lowest level in nearly 4 years. Headline inflation, which captures the cost of food and gas, rose 2.9% over last year, and consumers still expect inflation in the year ahead to be about 2.9%. Agricultural equipment maker Deere posted stronger than expected sales. Stock was up 2.3% at $140.60. The stock started lower after Deere disclosed a smaller profit than analysts expected and said rising costs for raw materials and freight are affecting its business. Now, Deere's numbers were a mixed bag, and shares fell as much as 6.8% in pre-market trading before rebounding to trade up more than 2% as executives held a conference to discuss the results. Deere says it's working to offset the rising cost with cost cuts elsewhere, and they're going to try to increase prices. So there's actually a fairly interesting conference called Deere could be considered on the front line of trade wars. Their products essential for farmers, agriculture, a crucial part of tariffs with China. And also today, seemingly out of nowhere, Trump said that companies should stop reporting quarterly results and instead post earnings every 6 months. Now, this echoes recent comments from Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan and Warren Buffett, as they called for more long-term planning for companies and investors. Today, Deere's stock price went from negative to positive during management's conference call because management struck an optimistic tone about its ability to navigate difficult market conditions. Maybe investors are not stuck on short-term numbers. Most investors can see through short-term challenges and focus on the bigger picture, even if that bigger picture includes short-term numbers. European companies operate on a semi-annual reporting system, and that doesn't seem to have saved them from pressure to make job cuts, do big share buybacks, or pursue shakeups, or attempt other financial engineering at the behest of activist investors. I really don't think it makes a whole bunch of difference. Maybe we should let shareholders decide how they would like to report earnings. If J.P. Morgan or Berkshire Hathaway wants to report every 6 months, well, go ahead. And if Deere wants to report every 3 months, go ahead. I understand CEOs' frustration with short-term reporting, but the solution is not to hide critical information from investors. And companies need to stop playing games with the numbers. Whether quarterly or semi-annually, they need to present the numbers with accuracy, clarity, simplicity, and honesty. Sunshine remains the best disinfectant. Also this week, Senator Elizabeth Warren offered proposals for fixing corporate governance. Warren has written legislation and an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal advocating that U.S. corporate structure be reformed to reduce the power of speculators in the economy. Instead of thinking of corporations as the sole property of shareholders, Warren's proposal would return us to the days when corporations, as privileged legal creations of the American people, were thought to have responsibilities to the public welfare as well as to their shareholders. Warren's plan starts from the premise that corporations that claim the legal rights of personhood should be legally required to accept the moral obligations of personhood. Warren argues that the shift in corporate governance ideology since the 1980s from one of public purpose to one of private gain has impoverished our economy while enriching a small elite. Before, wages grew alongside productivity, making the U.S. both prosperous and relatively equitable. But now the emphasis on maximizing the extraction of shareholder value out of corporations has not only deprived workers of their just due, but has starved the U.S. economy of the long-term investments it needs to grow and compete in today's world. Large corporations would be required to consider the interest of all stakeholders, workers, customers, the community, as well as shareholders' interest. The hope is that considerations such as long-term investments, negative externalities, and equitable growth would have a seat at the table along with those who have only their short-term financial interest at heart. Shares of Sears Holdings dropped about 13% today, hitting a record low. A hedge fund owned by CEO Eddie Lampert offered to buy the troubled retailer's Kenmore appliance division for $400 million. Lampert's hedge fund ESL Investments also made an offer to buy Sears Home Improvement business for as much as $80 million in cash. The shares slid to an intraday low of $1.27 a share before closing at $1.32. It looks like Sears is being cannibalized for parts. Sears stock has fallen 84% over the past 12 months, bringing the retailer's market cap to about $144 million. Amazon, by comparison, has a market cap of more than $910 billion. And department store chain JCPenney stock also hit an all-time low this week, $1.60, on the heels of its dismal quarterly earnings report. In an emotional interview with the New York Times, Elon Musk has said the past year of his professional life has been excruciating. And he said that stress over his business has caused his health to deteriorate. Musk said he had been working up to 120 hours a week, and his health had not been great. He said his friends had been worried about him. Musk said there were times he didn't leave the factory for 3 or 4 days at a time, and days when he didn't go outside. The interview follows on the heels of Musk's totally well-thought-out plan to take Tesla private, which maybe involves Goldman or Silver Lake or the Saudis, or maybe not, and toss in a subpoena from the SEC this week about secured funding. Clearly, sleep deprivation is not a key to success. Tesla shares today down about 9%, wiping over $5 billion off of the company's value. Dow Jones Industrial Average today finishing up 110 at 25,669. S&P 500 up 9 at 2,850. NASDAQ Composite up 9 at 7,816. And the Russell 2000 up 7 at 1692. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com.